made him cringe when they brushed his consciousness. Yet through all the sensations shimmered a melody of wild, haunting beauty that embodied her identity.
"What is your name?"
she asked, speaking in the ancient language. Her voice was weary and filled with quiet despair.
"Aragorn, and yours?"
Her consciousness lured him closer, inviting him to submerge himself in the lyric strains of her blood. He resisted the summons with difficulty, though his heart ached to accept it. For the first time he understood the fey attraction of elves. They were creatures of magic, unbound by the mortal laws of the land, as different from humans as dragons were from animals.
"Arya, why have you contacted me in this manner? Am I still a captive of the Empire?"
"No, you are free," said Aragorn.
Though he knew only scattered words in the ancient language, he managed to convey,
"I was imprisoned in Gilead like you, but I escaped and rescued you. In the 5 days since then, we've crossed the edge of the Haderach Desert and are now camped by the Beor Mountains. You've not stirred nor said a word in all that time."
"Ah, so it was Gilead." She paused. "I know that my wounds were healed. At the time I did not understand why. Preparation for some new torture, I was certain. Now I realize it was you."
Softly she added,
"Even so, I have not risen, and you are puzzled."
"Yes."
"During my captivity, a rare poison, the Skilner Brach, was given to me, along with the drug to suppress my power. Every morning, the antidote for the previous day's poison was administered to me by force if I refused to take it. Without it, I will die within a few hours. That is why I lie in this trance. It slows the Skilner Brach's progress, though does not stop it. I contemplated waking for the purpose of ending my life and denying Galbatorix, but I refrained from doing so out of hope that you might be an ally."
Her voice dwindled off weakly.
"How long can you remain like this?" asked Aragorn.
"For weeks, but I'm afraid I haven't that much time. This dormancy cannot restrain death forever. I can feel it in my veins even now. Unless I receive the antidote, I will succumb to the poison in 3 or 4 days."
"Where can the antidote be found?"
"It exists in only 2 places outside of the Empire, with my own people and with the Varden. However, my home is beyond the reach of Dragonback."
"What about the Varden? We would have taken you straight to them, but we don't know where they are."
"I will tell you, if you give me your word that you will never reveal their location to Galbatorix or to anyone who serves him. In addition, you must swear that you have not deceived me in some manner, and that you intend no harm to the elves, dwarves, Varden, or the race of dragons."
What Arya asked for would have been simple enough if they had not been conversing in the ancient language. Aragorn knew she wanted oaths more binding than life itself. Once made, they could never be broken. That weighed heavily on him, as he gravely pledged his word in agreement.
"It is understood."
A series of vertigo-inducing images suddenly flashed through his mind. He found himself riding along the Beor mountain range, traveling eastward many leagues. Aragorn did his best to remember the route as craggy mountains and hills flashed past. He was heading south now, still following the mountains. Then everything wheeled abruptly and he entered a narrow, winding valley. It snaked through the mountains to the base of a frothy waterfall that pounded into a deep lake. The images stopped.
"It is far," said Arya, "but do not let the distance dissuade you. When you arrive at the lake Kostamirna at the end of the Beartooth River, take a rock, bang on the cliff next to the waterfall, and cry, 'Ey Varden Aberdushurtaguls, Gata Vanta!' You will be admitted. You will be challenged, but do not falter, no matter how perilous it seems."
"What should they give you for the poison?" he asked.
Her voice quavered, but then she regained her strength.
"Tell them to give me 2 nivors nectar. You must leave me now. I have expended too much energy already. Do not talk with me again, unless there is no hope of reaching the Varden. If that is the case, there is information I must impart to you so the Varden will survive." Farewell, Aragorn, rider of dragons. My life is in your hands.
Arya withdrew from their contact. The unearthly strains that had echoed across their link were gone. Aragorn took a shuddering breath and forced his eyes open. Murtagh and Saphira stood on either side of him, watching with concern. "Are you all right?" asked Murtagh. "You've been kneeling here for almost 15 minutes."
"I have?" asked Aragorn, blinking.
"Yes, and grimacing like a pained gargoyle," commented Saphira dryly.
Aragorn stood wincing as his cramped knees stretched.
"I talked with Arya."
Murtagh frowned quizzically as if to inquire if he had gone mad. Aragorn explained.
"The elf, that's her name."
"And what is it that ails her?"
asked Saphira impatiently. Aragorn swiftly told him of his entire discussion. "How far away are the Varden?" asked Murtagh.
"I'm not exactly sure," confessed Aragorn. "From what she showed me, I think it's even farther than from here to Gilead."
"And we're supposed to cover that in 3 or 4 days?" demanded Murtagh angrily. "It took us 5 long days to get here. What do you want to do, kill the horses? They're exhausted as it is."
"But if we do nothing, she'll die.
If it's too much for the horses, Saphira can fly ahead with Arya and me. At least we will get to the Varden in time. You could catch up with us in a few days." Murtagh grunted and crossed his arms. "Of course. Murtagh the pack animal. Murtagh the horse leader. I should have remembered that's all I'm good for nowadays. Oh, and let's not forget, every soldier in the Empire is searching for me now, because you couldn't defend yourself, and I had to go and save you. Yes, I suppose I'll just follow your instructions and bring up the horses in the rear like a good servant."
Aragorn was bewildered by the sudden venom in Murtagh's voice. "What's wrong with you? I'm grateful for what you did. There's no reason to be angry with me. I didn't ask you to accompany me or to rescue me from Gilead. You chose that. I haven't forced you to do anything."
"Oh, not openly, no. What else could I do but help you with the Razak? And then later at Gilead, how could I have left with a clear conscience?"
"The problem with you," said Murtagh, poking Aragorn in the chest, "is that you're so totally helpless you force everyone to take care of you."
The words stung Aragorn's pride. He recognized a grain of truth in them.
"Don't touch me," he growled.
Murtagh laughed, a harsh note in his voice.
"Or what? You'll punch me? You couldn't hit a brick wall."
He went to shove Aragorn again, but Aragorn grabbed his arm and struck him in the stomach.
"I said, don't touch me!"
Murtagh doubled over, swearing. Then he yelled and launched himself at Aragorn. They fell in a tangle of arms and legs, pounding on each other. Aragorn kicked at Murtagh's right hip, missed, and grazed the fire. Sparks and burning embers scattered through the air. They scrabbled across the ground, trying to get leverage. Aragorn managed to get his feet under Murtagh's chest and kicked mightily. Murtagh flew upside down over Aragorn's head, landing flat on his back with a solid thump. Murtagh's breath whooshed out. He rolled stiffly to his feet, then wheeled to face Aragorn, panting heavily. They charged each other once more. Saphira's tail slapped between them, accompanied by a deafening roar. Aragorn ignored her and tried to jump over her tail, but a taloned paw caught him in midair and flung him back to the ground.
"Enough!"
He futilely tried to push Saphira's muscled leg off his chest and saw that Murtagh was likewise pinned. Saphira roared again, snapping her jaws. She swung her head over Aragorn and glared at him.
"You of all people should know better! Fighting like starving dogs over a scrap of meat! What would Brom say?"
Aragorn felt his cheeks burn and averted his gaze. He knew what Brom would have said. Saphira held them on the ground, letting them simmer, then said to Aragorn pointedly,
"Now if you don't want to spend the night under my foot, you will politely ask Murtagh what is troubling him."
She snaked her head over to Murtagh and stared down at him with an impassive blue eye.
"And tell him that I won't stand for insults from either of you."
"Won't you let us up?" complained Aragorn.
"No."
Aragorn reluctantly turned his head toward Murtagh, tasting blood in the side of his mouth. Murtagh avoided his eyes and looked up at the sky.
"Well, is she going to get off us?"
"No, not unless we talk. She wants me to ask you what's really the problem," said Aragorn, embarrassed.
Saphira growled an affirmative and continued to stare at Murtagh. It was impossible for him to escape her piercing glare. Finally he shrugged, muttering something under his breath. Saphira's claws tightened on his chest and her tail whistled through the air. Murtagh shot her an angry glance, then grudgingly said louder, "I told you before, I don't want to go to the Varden." Aragorn frowned.
Was that all that was the matter?
Don't want to or can't? Murtagh tried to shove Saphira's leg off him, then gave up with a curse.
Don't want to. They'll expect things from me that I can't deliver. Did you steal something from them?
I wish it were that simple. Aragorn rolled his eyes, exasperated.
Well, what is it, then? Did you kill someone important, or bed the wrong woman?
No. I was born, said Murtagh cryptically. He pushed at Saphira again. This time she released them both. They got to their feet under her watchful eye and brushed dirt from their backs.
You're avoiding the question, Aragorn said, dabbing his split lip.
So what? Spat Murtagh as he stomped to the edge of the camp. After a minute, he sighed.
It doesn't matter why I'm in this predicament, but I can tell you that the Varden wouldn't welcome me even if I came bearing the king's head. Or they might greet me nicely enough and let me into their councils, but trust me, never. And if I were to arrive under less fortuitous circumstances, like the present ones, they'd likely clap me in irons.
Won't you tell me what this is about? Asked Aragorn.
I've done things I'm not proud of, too, so it's not as if I'm going to pass judgment.
Murtagh shook his head slowly, eyes glistening.
It isn't like that. I haven't done anything to deserve this treatment, though it would have been easier to atone for if I had.
No. My only wrongdoing is existing in the first place. He stopped and took a shaky breath.
You see, my father...
A sharp hiss from Saphira cut him off abruptly.
Look!
They followed her gaze westward. Murtagh's face paled.
Demons above and below!
A league or so away, parallel to the mountain range, was a column of figures marching east. The line of troops, hundreds strong, stretched for nearly a mile. Dust billowed from their heels, their weapons glinted in the dying light. A standard-bearer rode before them in a black chariot, holding aloft a crimson banner.
"It's the Empire," said Aragorn tiredly. "They've found us somehow."
Saphira poked her head over his shoulder and gazed at the column.
"Yes, but those are Urgals, not men," said Murtagh.
"How can you tell?"
Murtagh pointed at the standard. "That flag bears the personal symbol of an Urgal chieftain. He's a ruthless brute given to violent fits and insanity."
"You've met him?"
Murtagh's eyes tightened.
"Once, briefly. I still have scars from that encounter. These Urgals might not have been sent here for us, but I'm sure we've been seen by now and that they will follow us. Their chieftain isn't the sort to let a dragon escape his grasp, especially if he's heard about Gilead."
Aragorn hurried to the fire and covered it with dirt.
"We have to flee. You don't want to go to the Varden, but I have to take Arya to them before she dies. Here's a compromise. Come with me until I reach the lake Kostamirna, then go your own way."
Murtagh hesitated. Aragorn added quickly,
"If you leave now, in sight of the columns, Urgals will follow you. And then where will you be, facing them alone?"
"Very well," said Murtagh, tossing his saddlebags over Tornek's flanks. "But when we near the Varden, I will leave." Aragorn burned to question Murtagh further, but not with Urgals so near. He gathered his belongings and saddled Snowfire. Saphira fanned her wings, took off in a rush, and circled above. She kept guard over Murtagh and Aragorn as they left camp.
"What direction shall I fly?" she asked.
"East, along the Beors."
Stilling her wings, Saphira rose on an updraft and teetered on the pillar of warm air, hovering in the sky over the horses.
"I wonder why the Urgals are here. Maybe they were sent to attack the Varden."
"Then we should try to warn them," he said,
guiding Snowfire past half-visible obstacles. As the night deepened, the Urgals faded into the gloom behind them. A Clash of Wills. When morning came, Aragorn's cheek was raw from chafing against Snowfire's neck, and he was sore from his fight with Murtagh. They had alternated sleeping in their saddles throughout the night. It had allowed them to outdistance the Urgal troops, but neither of them knew if the lead could be retained. The horses were exhausted to the point of stopping, yet they still maintained a relentless pace. Whether it would be enough to escape depended on how rested the monsters were, and if Aragorn and Murtagh's horses survived. The Beor Mountains cast great shadows over the land, stealing the sun's warmth. To the north was the Hadarach Desert, a thin white band, as bright as noonday snow.
"I must eat," said Saphira. "Days have passed since I last hunted. Hunger claws my belly. If I start now, I might be able to catch enough of those bounding deer for a few mouthfuls."
Aragorn smiled at her exaggeration.
"Go if you must, but leave Arya here."
"I will be swift."
He untied the elf from her belly and transferred her to Snowfire's saddle. Saphira soared away, disappearing in the direction of the mountains. Aragorn ran beside the horses, close enough to Snowfire to keep Arya from falling. Neither he nor Murtagh intruded on the silence. Yesterday's fight no longer seemed as important because of the Urgals, but the bruises remained. Saphira made her kills within the hour and notified Aragorn of her success. Aragorn was pleased that she would soon return. Her absence made him nervous. They stopped at a pond to let the horses drink. Aragorn idly plucked a stalk of grass, twirling it while he stared at the elf. He was startled from his reverie by the steely rasp of a sword being unsheathed. He instinctively grasped Zarok and spun around in search of the enemy. There was only Murtagh, his long sword held ready. He pointed at a hill ahead of them, where a tall, brown-cloaked man sat on a sorrel horse, mace in hand. Behind him was a group of 20 horsemen. No one moved.
"Could they be Vardan?" asked Murtagh.
Aragorn surreptitiously strung his bow.
"According to Arya, they're still scores of leagues away. This might be one of their patrols or raiding groups."
"Assuming they're not bandits." Murtagh swung onto Tornak and readied his own bow.
"Should we try to outrun them?"
asked Aragorn, draping a blanket over Arya. The horsemen must have seen her, but he hoped to conceal the fact that she was an elf.
"It wouldn't do any good," said Murtagh, shaking his head. "Tornak and Snowfire are fine war horses, but they're tired, and they aren't sprinters. Look at the horses those men have. They're meant for running. They would catch us before we had gone a half mile. Besides, they may have something important to say. You'd better tell Saphira to hurry back."
Aragorn was already doing that. He explained the situation, then warned,
"Don't show yourself unless it's necessary. We're not in the Empire, but I still don't want anyone to know about you."
"Never mind that," she replied. "Remember, magic can protect you where speed and luck fail."
He felt her take off and race toward them, skimming close to the ground. The band of men watched them from the hill. Aragorn nervously gripped Zarok. The wire-wrapped hilt was secure under his glove. He said in a low voice, "If they threaten us, I can frighten them away with magic. If that doesn't work, there's Saphira. I wonder how they'd react to a rider. So many stories have been told about their powers. It might be enough to avoid a fight."
"Don't count on it," said Murtagh flatly. "If there's a fight, we'll just have to kill enough of them to convince them we're not worth the effort."
His face was controlled and unemotional. The man on the sorrel horse signaled with his mace, sending the horsemen cantering toward them. The men shook javelins over their heads, whooping loudly as they neared. Battered sheaths hung from their sides. Their weapons were rusty and stained. Four of them trained arrows on Aragorn and Murtagh. Their leader swirled the mace in the air, and his men responded with yells as they wildly encircled Aragorn and Murtagh. Aragorn's lips twitched. He almost loosed a blast of magic into their midst, then restrained himself.
"We don't know what they want yet," he reminded himself,
containing his growing apprehension. The moment Aragorn and Murtagh were thoroughly surrounded, the leader reined in his horse, then crossed his arms and examined them critically. He raised his eyebrows.
"Well, these are better than the usual dregs we find. At least we got healthy ones this time, and we didn't even have to shoot them. Grieg will be pleased."
The men chuckled. At his words, a sinking sensation filled Aragorn's gut. A suspicion stirred in his mind.
"Saphira!"
"Now, as for you two," said the leader, speaking to Aragorn and Murtagh, "if you would be so good as to drop your weapons, you'll avoid being turned into living quivers by my men."
The archers grinned suggestively. The men laughed again. Murtagh's only movement was to shift his sword.
"Who are you, and what do you want? We are free men travelling through this land. You have no right to stop us."
"Oh, I have every right," said the man contemptuously. "And as for my name, slaves do not address their masters in that manner unless they want to be beaten."
Aragorn cursed to himself.
"Slavers!"
He remembered vividly the people he had seen at auction in Drasleona. Rage boiled within him. He glared at the men around him with new hatred and disgust. The lines deepened on the leader's face.
"Throw down your swords and surrender."
The slavers tensed, staring at them with cold eyes as neither Aragorn nor Murtagh lowered his weapon. Aragorn's palm tingled. He heard a rustle behind him, then a loud curse. Startled, he spun around. One of the slavers had pulled the blanket off Arya, revealing her face. He gaped in astonishment, then shouted,
"Tolkienbrand, this one's an elf!"
The men stirred with surprise, while the leader spurred his horse over to Snowfire. He looked down at Arya and whistled.
"Well, how much is she worth?"
someone asked. Tolkienbrand was quiet for a moment, then spread his hands and said,
"At the very least, fortunes upon fortunes. The Empire will pay a mountain of gold for her."
The slavers yelled with excitement and pounded each other on the back. A roar filled Aragorn's mind as Saphira banked sharply far overhead.
"Attack now," he cried, "but let them escape if they run."
She immediately folded her wings and plummeted downward. Aragorn caught Murtagh's attention with a sharp signal. Murtagh took the cue. He smashed his elbow into a slaver's face, knocking the man out of his saddle, and jabbed his heels into Tornak. With a toss of his mane, the warhorse jumped forward, twirled around and reared. Murtagh brandished his sword as Tornak plunged back down, driving his forehooves into the back of the dismounted slaver. The man screamed. Before the slavers could gather their senses, Aragorn scrambled out of the commotion and raised his hands, invoking words in the ancient language. A globule of indigo fire struck the ground in the midst of the fray, bursting into a fountain of molten drops that dissipated like sun-warmed dew. A second later, Saphira dropped from the sky and landed next to him. She parted her jaws, displaying her massive fangs, and bellowed.
"Behold!" cried Aragorn over the furor. "I am a rider!"
He raised Zarok over his head, the red blade dazzling in the sunlight, then pointed it at the slavers.
"Flee, if you wish to live."
The men shouted incoherently and scrambled over each other in their haste to escape. In the confusion, Tolkienbrand was struck in the temple with a javelin. He tumbled to the ground, stunned. The men ignored their fallen leader and raced away in a ragged mass, casting fearful looks at Saphira. Tolkienbrand struggled to his knees. Blood ran from his temple, branching across his cheek with crimson tendrils. Murtagh dismounted and strode over to him, sword in hand. Tolkienbrand weakly raised his arm as if to ward off a blow. Murtagh gazed at him coldly, then swung his blade at Tolkienbrand's neck.
"No!"
shouted Aragorn, but it was too late. Tolkienbrand's decapitated trunk crumpled to the ground in a puff of dirt. His head landed with a hard thump. Aragorn rushed to Murtagh, his jaw working furiously.
"Is your brain rotten?" he yelled, enraged. "Why did you kill him?"
Murtagh wiped his sword on the back of Tolkienbrand's jerkin. The steel left a dark stain.
"I don't see why you're so upset."
"Upset!" exploded Aragorn. "I'm well past that. Did it even occur to you that we could just leave him here and continue on our way? No. Instead, you turn into an executioner and chop off his head. He was defenseless."
Murtagh seemed perplexed by Aragorn's wrath.
"Well, we couldn't keep him around. He was dangerous. The others ran off. Without a horse, he wouldn't have made it far. I didn't want the Urgles to find him and learn about Arya, so I thought it would..."
"But to kill him?"
interrupted Aragorn. Saphira sniffed Tolkienbrand's head curiously. She opened her mouth slightly as if to snap it up, then appeared to decide better of it and prowled to Aragorn's side.
"I'm only trying to stay alive," stated Murtagh. "No stranger's life is more important than my own."
"But you can't indulge in wanton violence. Where is your empathy?"
growled Aragorn, pointing at the head.
"Empathy?
Empathy? What empathy can I afford my enemies? Shall I dither about whether to defend myself because it will cause someone pain? If that had been the case, I would have died years ago. You must be willing to protect yourself and what you cherish, no matter what the cost."
Aragorn slammed Zarok back into its sheath, shaking his head savagely. "You can justify any atrocity with that reasoning." "Do you think I enjoy this?" Murtagh shouted. "My life has been threatened from the day I was born. All of my waking hours have been spent avoiding danger in one form or another, and sleep never comes easily because I always worry if I'll live to see the dawn. If there ever was a time I felt secure, it must have been in my mother's womb, though I wasn't safe even there. You don't understand. If you lived with this fear, you would have learned the same lesson I did. Do not take chances." He gestured at Torkenbrand's body. "He was a risk that I removed. I refuse to repent, and I won't plague myself over what has done and passed." Aragorn shoved his face into Murtagh's. "It was still the wrong thing to do." He lashed Arya to Saphira, then climbed onto Snowfire. "Let's go." Murtagh guided Tornak around Torkenbrand's prone form in the bloodstained dust. They rode at a rate that Aragorn would have thought impossible a week ago. Leagues melted away before them as if wings were attached to their feet. They turned south, between two outstretched arms of the Beor Mountains. The arms were shaped like pincers about to close, the tips a day's travel apart. Yet the distance seemed less because of the mountain's size. It was as if they were in a valley made for giants. When they stopped for the day, Aragorn and Murtagh ate dinner in silence, refusing to look up from their food. Afterward, Aragorn said tersely, "I'll take the first watch." Murtagh nodded and lay on his blankets with his back to Aragorn.
"Do you want to talk?"
asked Saphira.
"Not right now," murmured Aragorn. "Give me some time to think. I'm confused."
She withdrew from his mind with a gentle touch and a whisper.
"I love you, little one."
"And I you," he said.
She curled into a ball next to him, lending him her warmth. He sat motionless in the dark, wrestling with his disquiet. Flight through the valley. In the morning, Saphira took off with both Aragorn and Arya. Aragorn wanted to get away from Murtagh for a time. He shivered, pulling his clothes tighter. It looked like it might snow. Saphira ascended lazily on an updraft and asked,
"What are you thinking?"
Aragorn contemplated the Beor Mountains, which towered above them, even though Saphira flew far above the ground.
"That was murder yesterday. I've no other word for it."
Saphira banked to the left.
"It was a hasty deed and ill-considered, but Murtagh tried to do the right thing. The men who buy and sell other humans deserve every misfortune that befalls them. If we weren't committed to helping Arya, I would hunt down every slaver and tear them apart."
"Yes," said Aragorn miserably, "but Torkenbrand was helpless. He couldn't shield himself or run. A moment more and he probably would have surrendered. Murtagh didn't give him that chance. If Torkenbrand had at least been able to fight, it wouldn't have been so bad."
"Aragorn, even if Torkenbrand had fought, the results would have been the same. You know as well as I do that few can equal you or Murtagh with the blade. Torkenbrand would still have died, though you seem to think it would have been more just or honorable in a mismatched duel."
"I don't know what's right," admitted Aragorn, distressed. "There aren't any answers that make sense."
"Sometimes," said Saphira gently, "there are no answers. Learn what you can about Murtagh from this, then forgive him. And if you can't forgive, at least forget, for he meant you no harm, however rash the act was. Your head is still attached, yes?"
Frowning, Aragorn shifted in the saddle. He shook himself like a horse trying to rid itself of a fly and checked Murtagh's position over Saphira's shoulder. A patch of colour farther back along their route caught his attention. Camped by a stream bed they had crossed late yesterday were the Urgles. Aragorn's heartbeat quickened. How could the Urgles be on foot yet still gain on them? Saphira saw the monsters as well and tilted her wings, brought them close to her body and slipped into a steep dive, splitting the air.
"I don't think they spotted us," she said.
Aragorn hoped not. He squinted against the blast of air as she increased the angle of their dive.
"Their chieftain must be driving them at a breakneck pace," he said.
"Yes, Maybe they'll all die of exhaustion.
When they landed, Murtagh asked curtly, What now?
The Urgals are overtaking us, said Aragorn. He pointed back toward the column's camp.
How far do we still have to go? Asked Murtagh, putting his hands against the sky and measuring the hours until sunset.
Normally, I would guess another 5 days. At the speed we've been travelling, only 3. But unless we get there tomorrow, the Urgals will probably catch us, and Arya will certainly die.
She might last another day.
We can't count on it, objected Aragorn. The only way we can get to the Varden in time is if we don't stop for anything, least of all sleep. That's our only chance.
Murtagh laughed bitterly. How can you expect to do that? We've already gone days without adequate sleep, unless riders are made of different stuff than us mortals. You're as tired as I am. We've covered a staggering distance, and the horses, in case you haven't noticed, are ready to drop. Another day of this might kill us all.
Aragorn shrugged. So be it. We don't have a choice.
Murtagh gazed at the mountains. I could leave and let you fly ahead with Saphira. That would force the Urgals to divide their troops and would give you a better chance of reaching the Varden.
It would be suicide, said Aragorn, crossing his arms. Somehow those Urgals are faster on foot than we are on horseback. They would run you down like a deer. The only way to evade them is to find sanctuary with the Varden.
Despite his words, he was unsure if he wanted Murtagh to stay.
I like him, Aragorn confessed to himself, but I'm no longer certain if that's a good thing.
I'll escape later, said Murtagh abruptly. When we get to the Varden, I can disappear down a side valley and find my way to Cirda, where I can hide without attracting too much attention.
So you're staying?
Sleep or no sleep, I'll see you to the Varden, promised Murtagh. With newfound determination, they struggled to distance themselves from the Urgals, yet their pursuers continued to creep nearer. At nightfall, the monsters were a third closer than they had been that morning. As fatigue eroded his and Murtagh's strength, they slept in turns on the horses, while whoever was awake led the animals in the right direction. Aragorn relied heavily on Arya's memories to guide them. Because of the alien nature of her mind, he sometimes made mistakes as to the route, costing them precious time. They gradually angled toward the foothills of the eastern arm of mountains, looking for the valley that would lead them to the Varden. Midnight arrived and passed without any sign of it. When the sun returned, they were pleased to see that the Urgals were far behind.
"This is the last day,"
said Aragorn, yawning widely. "If we're not reasonably close to the Varden by noon, I'm going to fly ahead with Arya. You'll be free to go wherever you want then, but you'll have to take Snowfire with you. I won't be able to come back for him."
"That might not be necessary. We could still get there in time," said Murtagh.
He rubbed the pommel of his sword.
Aragorn shrugged. "We could."
He went to Arya and put a hand on her forehead. It was damp and dangerously hot. Her eyes wandered uneasily beneath her eyelids, as if she suffered a nightmare. Aragorn pressed a damp rag to her brow, wishing he could do more. Late in the morning, after they circumnavigated an especially broad mountain, Aragorn saw a narrow valley tucked against its far side. The valley was so restricted it could easily be overlooked. The Beartooth River, which Arya had mentioned, flowed out of it and looped carelessly across the land. He smiled with relief. That was where they needed to go. Looking back, Aragorn was alarmed to see that the distance between them and the Urgals had shrunk to little more than a league. He pointed out the valley to Murtagh.
If we can slip in there without being seen, it might confuse them.
Murtagh looked skeptical.
It's worth a try, but they've followed us easily enough so far.
As they approached the valley, they passed under the knotted branches of the Beor Mountains forest. The trees were tall, with creviced bark that was almost black, dull needles of the same color, and knobby roots that rose from the soil like bare knees. Cones littered the ground, each the size of a horse's head. Sable squirrels chattered from the treetops, and eyes gleamed from holes in the trunks. Green beards of tangled wolfsbane hung from the gnarled branches. The forest gave Aragorn an uneasy feeling. The hair on the back of his neck prickled. There was something hostile in the air, as if the trees resented their intrusion.
"They are very old,"
said Saphira, touching a trunk with her nose.
"Yes," said Aragorn.
but not friendly.
The forest grew denser the farther in they travelled. The lack of space forced Saphira to take off with Arya. Without a clear trail to follow, the tough underbrush slowed Aragorn and Murtagh. The Beartooth River wound next to them, filling the air with the sound of gurgling water. A nearby peak obscured the sun, casting them into premature dusk. At the valley's mouth, Aragorn realized that although it looked like a slim gash between the peaks, the valley was really as wide as many of the Spine's vales. It was only the enormous size of the ridged and shadowy mountains that made it appear so confined. Waterfalls dotted its sheer sides. The sky was reduced to a thin strip winding overhead, mostly hidden by grey clouds. From the dank ground rose a clinging fog that chilled the air until their breath was visible. Wild strawberries crawled among a carpet of mosses and ferns, fighting for the meagre sunlight. Sprouting on piles of rotting wood were red and yellow toadstools. All was hushed and quiet, sounds dampened by the heavy air. Saphira landed by them in a nearby glade, the rush of her wings strangely muted. She took in the view with a swing of her head.
"I just passed a flock of birds that were black and green with red markings on their wings. I've never seen birds like that before."
"Everything in these mountains seems unusual," replied Aragorn. "Do you mind if I ride you a while? I want to keep an eye on the Urgals."
"Of course."
He turned to Murtagh. "The Varden are hidden at the end of this valley. If we hurry, we might get there before nightfall." Murtagh grunted, hands on his hips.
"How am I going to get out of here? I don't see any valleys joining this one, and the Urgals are going to hem us in pretty soon. I need an escape route."
"Don't worry about it," said Aragorn impatiently. "This is a long valley. There's sure to be an exit farther in."
He released Arya from Saphira and lifted the elf onto Snowfire. "Watch Arya. I'm going to fly with Saphira. We'll meet you up ahead." He scrambled onto Saphira's back and strapped himself onto her saddle.
"Be careful," Murtagh warned, his brow furrowed in thought. Then he clucked to the horses and hurried back into the forest.
As Saphira jumped toward the sky, Aragorn said,
"Do you think you could fly up to one of those peaks? We might be able to spot our destination, as well as a passage for Murtagh. I don't want to listen to him griping through the entire valley."
"We can try," agreed Saphira, "but it will get much colder."
"I'm dressed warmly."
"Hold on, then."
Saphira suddenly swooped straight up, throwing him back in the saddle. Her wings flapped strongly, driving their weight upward. The valley shrank to a green line below them. The Beartooth River shimmered like braided silver where light struck it. They rose to the cloud layer, and icy moisture saturated the air. A formless grey blanket engulfed them, limiting their vision to an arm's length. Aragorn hoped they would not collide with anything in the murk. He stuck out a hand experimentally, swinging it through the air. Water condensed on it and ran down his arm, soaking his sleeve. A blurred grey mass fluttered past his head, and he glimpsed a dove, its wings pumping frantically. There was a white band around its leg. Saphira struck at the bird, tongue lashing out, jaws gaping. The dove squawked as Saphira's sharp teeth snapped together a hair's breadth behind its tail feathers. Then it darted away and disappeared into the haze, the frenzied thumping of its wings fading to silence. When they breached the top of the clouds, Saphira's scales were covered with thousands of water droplets that reflected tiny rainbows and shimmered with the blue of her scales. Aragorn shook himself, spraying water from his clothes, and shivered. He could no longer see the ground, only hills of clouds snaking between the mountains. The trees on the mountains gave way to thick glaciers, blue and white under the sun. The glare from the snow forced Aragorn to close his eyes. He tried to open them after a minute, but the light dazzled him. Irritated, he stared into the crook of his arm.
"How can you stand it?" he asked Saphira.
"My eyes are stronger than yours," she replied.
It was frigid. The water in Aragorn's hair froze, giving him a shiny helmet. His shirt and pants were hard shells around his limbs. Saphira's scales became slick with ice. Hoarfrost laced her wings. They had never flown this high before, yet the mountaintops were still miles above them. Saphira's flapping gradually slowed and her breathing became labored. Aragorn gasped and panted. There didn't seem to be enough air. Fighting back panic, he clutched Saphira's neck spikes for support.
"We have to get out of here," he said.
Red dots swam before his eyes.
I can't breathe.
Saphira seemed not to hear him, so he repeated the message louder this time. Again, there was no response.
She can't hear me,
he realized. He swayed, finding it hard to think, then pounded on her side and shouted, Take us down! The effort made him light-headed. His vision faded into swirling darkness. He regained consciousness as they emerged from the bottom of the clouds. His head was pounding.
What happened?
He asked, pushing himself upright and looking around with confusion.
You blacked out,
answered Saphira. He tried to run his fingers through his hair, but stopped when he felt icicles.
Yes, I know that, but why didn't you answer me?
My brain was confused. Your words didn't make any sense. When you lost consciousness, I knew something was wrong and descended. I didn't have to sink far before I realized what had occurred.
It's a good thing you didn't pass out as well,
said Aragorn with a nervous laugh. Saphira only swished her tail. He looked wistfully at where the mountain peaks were now concealed by clouds.
A pity we couldn't stand upon one of those summits. Well, now we know. We can only fly out of this valley the way we came in. Why did we run out of air? How can we have it down here but not up above?
I don't know, but I'll never dare to fly so close to the sun again. We should remember this experience. The knowledge may be useful if we ever have to fight another rider.
I hope that never happens, said Aragorn. Let's stay down below for now. I've had enough adventure for one day.
They floated on the gentle air currents, drifting from one mountain to the next, until Aragorn saw that the Urgal column had reached the valley's mouth.
What drives them to such speed, and how can they bear to sustain it?
Now that we are closer to them,
Saphira said,
I can see that these Urgals are bigger than the ones we met before. They would stand chest and shoulders over a tall man. I don't know what land they march from, but it must be a fierce place to produce such brutes.
Aragorn glared at the ground below. He could not see the detail that she did.
If they keep to this pace, they'll catch Murtagh before we find the Varden.
Have hope. The forest may hamper their progress. Would it be possible to stop them with magic?
Aragorn shook his head.
Stop them? No, there are too many.
He thought of the thin layer of mist on the valley floor and grinned.
But I might be able to delay them a bit.
He closed his eyes, selected the words he needed, stared at the mist, and then commanded, Gath Unrisa Durakar. There was a disturbance below. From above it looked as if the ground were flowing together like a great sluggish river. A leaden band of mist gathered in front of the Urgals and thickened into an intimidating wall, dark as a thunderhead. The Urgals hesitated before it, then continued forward like an unstoppable battering ram. The barrier swirled around them, concealing the lead ranks from view. The drain on Aragorn's strength was sudden and massive, making his heart flutter like a dying bird. He gasped, eyes rolling. He struggled to sever the magic's hold on him, to plug the breach through which his life streamed. With a savage growl, he jerked away from the magic and broke contact. Tendrils of magic snapped through his mind like decapitated snakes, then reluctantly retreated from his consciousness, clutching at the dregs of his strength. The wall of mist dissipated, and the fog sluggishly collapsed across the ground, like a tower of mud sliding apart. The Urgals had not been hindered at all. Aragorn lay limply on Saphira, panting. Only now did he remember Brom saying, Magic is affected by distance, just like an arrow or a spear. If you try to lift or move something a mile away, it'll take more energy than if you were closer.
I won't forget that again, he thought grimly.
You shouldn't have forgotten in the first place,
Saphira inserted pointedly.
First the dirt at Gilead, and now this. Weren't you paying attention to anything Brom told you? You'll kill yourself if you keep this up.
I paid attention, he insisted, rubbing his chin. It's just been a while, and I haven't had an opportunity to think back on it. I've never used magic at a distance, so how could I know it would be so difficult?
She growled.
The next thing I know, you'll be trying to bring corpses back to life. Don't forget what Brom said about that, too.
I won't, he said impatiently.
Saphira dipped toward the ground, searching for Murtagh and the horses. Aragorn would have helped her, but he barely had the energy to sit up. Saphira settled in a small field with a jolt, and Aragorn was puzzled to see the horses stopped and Murtagh kneeling, examining the ground. When Aragorn did not dismount, Murtagh hurried over and inquired, "What's wrong?" He sounded angry, worried, and tired at the same time. "I made a mistake," said Aragorn truthfully. "The Urghels have entered the valley. I tried to confuse them, but I forgot one of the rules of magic, and it cost me a great deal." Scowling, Murtagh jerked his thumb over his shoulder. "I just found some wolf tracks, but the footprints are as wide as both of my hands and an inch deep. There are animals around here that could be dangerous even to you, Saphira." He turned to her. "I know you can't enter the forest, but could you circle above me and the horses? That should keep these beasts away. Otherwise there may only be enough left of me to roast in a thimble." "Humor, Murtagh?" asked Aragorn, a quick smile coming to his face. His muscles trembled, making it hard for him to concentrate. "Only on the gallows," Murtagh rubbed his eyes. "I can't believe that the same Urghels have been following us the whole time. They would have to be birds to catch up with us." "Saphira said they're larger than any we've seen," remarked Aragorn. Murtagh cursed, clenching the pommel of his sword. "That explains it. Saphira, if you're right, then those are Cull, elite of the Urghels. I should have guessed that the chieftain had been put in charge of them. They don't ride because horses can't carry their weight. Not one of them is under 8 feet tall, and they can run for days without sleep and still be ready for battle. It can take 5 men to kill one. Cull never leave their caves except for war, so they must expect a great slaughter if they are out in such force. Can we stay ahead of them?" "Who knows?" said Murtagh. "They're strong, determined, and large in numbers. It's possible that we may have to face them. If that happens, I only hope that the Varden have men posted nearby who'll help us. Despite our skill and Saphira, we can't hold off Cull." Aragorn swayed. "Could you get me some bread? I need to eat." Murtagh quickly brought him part of a loaf. It was old and hard, but Aragorn chewed on it gratefully. Murtagh scanned the valley walls, worry in his eyes. Aragorn knew he was searching for a way out. "There'll be one farther in." "Of course," said Murtagh with forced optimism, then slapped his thigh. "We must go." "How is Arya?" asked Aragorn. Murtagh shrugged. "The fever's worse. She's been tossing and turning. What do you expect? Her strength is failing. You should fly her to the Varden before the poison does any more damage." "I won't leave you behind," insisted Aragorn, gaining strength with each bite. "Not with the Urghels so near." Murtagh shrugged again. "As you wish. But I'm warning you, she won't live if you stay with me."
"Don't say that," insisted Aragorn, pushing himself upright in Saphira's saddle. "Help me save her. We can still do it. Consider it a life for a life. Atonement for Tolkienbrand's death."
Murtagh's face darkened instantly.
"It's not a debt owed. You—"
He stopped as a horn echoed through the dark forest.
"I'll have more to say to you later," he said shortly, stomping to the horses.
He grabbed their reins and trotted away, shooting an angry glare at Aragorn. Aragorn closed his eyes as Saphira took flight. He wished that he could lie on a soft bed and forget all their troubles.
"Saphira,"
he said at last, cupping his ears to warm them.
"What if we did take Arya to the Varden? Once she was safe, we could fly back to Murtagh and help him out of here."
"The Varden wouldn't let you," said Saphira. "For all they know, you might be returning to inform the Urghels of their hiding place. We aren't arriving under the best conditions to gain their trust. They'll want to know why we brought an entire company of Cull to their very gates."
"We'll just have to tell them the truth and hope they believe us," said Aragorn.
"And what will we do if the Cull attack Murtagh?"
"Fight them, of course. I won't let him and Arya be captured or killed," said Aragorn indignantly.
There was a touch of sarcasm in her words.
"How noble! Oh, we would fell many of the Urghels, you with magic and blade, whilst my weapons would be tooth and claw. But it would be futile in the end. They are too numerous. We cannot defeat them, only be defeated."
"What then?" he demanded. "I'll not leave Arya or Murtagh to their mercy."
Saphira waved her tail, the tip whistling loudly.
"I'm not asking you to. However, if we attack first, we may gain the advantage.
Have you gone crazy? They'll...
Aragorn's voice trailed off as he thought about it.
They won't be able to do a thing,
he concluded, surprised.
Exactly, said Saphira. We can inflict lots of damage from a safe height.
Let's drop rocks on them, proposed Aragorn. That should scatter them, if their skulls aren't thick enough to protect them.
Saphira banked to the right and quickly descended to the Beartooth River. She grasped a mid-sized boulder with her strong talons, while Aragorn scooped up several fist-sized rocks. Laden with the stones, Saphira glided on silent wings until they were over the Urgal host.
No!
She exclaimed, releasing the boulder. There were muffled cracks as the missiles plummeted through the forest top, smashing branches. A second later, howls echoed through the valley. Aragorn smiled tightly as he heard the Urgal scramble for cover.
Let's find more ammunition, he suggested, bending low over Saphira.
She growled in agreement and returned to the riverbed. It was hard work, but they were able to hinder the Urgal's progress, though it was impossible to stop them altogether. The Urgals gained ground whenever Saphira went for stones. Despite that, their efforts allowed Murtagh to stay ahead of the advancing column. The valley darkened as the hours slipped by. Without the sun to provide warmth, the sharp bite of frost crept into the air, and the ground mist froze on the trees, coating them white. Night animals began to creep from their dens, to peer from shadowed hideouts at the strangers trespassing on their land. Aragorn continued to examine the mountainside, searching for the waterfall that would signify the end of their journey. He was painfully aware that every passing minute brought Arya closer to death.
"Faster, faster!"
he muttered to himself, looking down at Murtagh. Before Saphira scooped up more rocks, he said,
"Let's take a respite and check on Arya. The day is almost over, and I'm afraid her life is measured in hours, if not minutes."
"Arya's life is in fate's hands now. You made your choice to stay with Murtagh. It's too late to change that, so stop agonizing over it. You're making my scales itch. The best thing we can do right now is to keep bombarding the Urgals."
Aragorn knew she was right, yet her words did nothing to calm his anxiety. He resumed his search for the waterfall, but whatever lay before them was hidden by a thick mountain ridge. True darkness began to fill the valley, settling over the trees and mountains like an inky cloud. Even with her keen hearing and delicate sense of smell, Saphira could no longer locate the Urgals through the dense forest. There was no moon to help them. It would be hours before it rose over the mountains. Saphira made a long, gentle left turn and glided around the mountain ridge. Aragorn vaguely sensed it pass by them, then squinted as he saw a faint white line ahead.
Could that be the waterfall? He wondered.
He looked at the sky, which still held the afterglow of sunset. The mountain's dark silhouettes curved together and formed a rough bowl that closed off the valley.
"The head of the valley isn't much farther," he exclaimed, pointing at the mountains. "Do you think that the Varden know we're coming? Maybe they'll send men out to help us."
"I doubt they'll assist us until they know if we are friend or foe,"
Saphira said, as she abruptly dropped toward the ground.
"I'm returning to Murtagh. We should stay with him now. Since I can't find the Urgals, they could sneak up on him without us knowing."
Aragorn loosened Zarok in its sheath, wondering if he was strong enough to fight. Saphira landed to the left of the Beartooth River, then crouched expectantly. The waterfall rumbled in the distance.
"He comes," she said.
Aragorn strained his ears and caught the sound of pounding hooves. Murtagh ran out of the forest, driving the horses before him. He saw them, but did not slow. Aragorn jumped off Saphira, stumbling a bit as he matched Murtagh's pace. Behind him, Saphira went to the river so she could follow them without being hindered by the trees. Before Aragorn could relay his news, Murtagh said, "I saw you dropping rocks with Saphira. Ambitious! Have the Khul stopped or turned back?"
"They're still behind us, but we're almost to the head of the valley. How's Arya?"
"She hasn't died," Murtagh said harshly. His breath came in short bursts. His next words were deceptively calm, like those of a man concealing a terrible passion. "Is there a valley or gorge ahead that I can lead through?" Apprehensive, Aragorn tried to remember if he had seen any breaks in the mountains around them. He had not thought about Murtagh's dilemma for a while. "It's dark," he began evasively, dodging a low branch. so I might have missed something, but no. Murtagh swore explosively and came to an abrupt stop, dragging on the horse's reins until they halted as well.
Are you saying that the only place I can go is to the Varden?
Yes, but keep running. The Urgals are almost upon us.
No, said Murtagh angrily.
He stabbed a finger at Aragorn.
I warned you that I wouldn't go to the Varden, but you went ahead and trapped me between a hammer and an anvil. You're the one with the elves' memories. Why didn't you tell me this was a dead end?
Aragorn bristled at the barrage and retorted,
All I knew was where we had to go, not what lay in between. Don't blame me for choosing to come.
Murtagh's breath hissed between his teeth as he furiously spun away. All Aragorn could see of him was a motionless, bowed figure. His own shoulders were tense and a vein throbbed on the side of his neck. He put his hands on his hips, impatience rising.
Why have you stopped?
Asked Saphira, alarmed.
Don't distract me.
What's your quarrel with the Varden? It can't be so terrible that you must keep it hidden even now. Would you rather fight the Cull than reveal it? How many times will we go through this before you trust me?
There was a long silence.
The Urgals,
reminded Saphira urgently.
I know, said Aragorn, pushing back his temper, but we have to resolve this.
Quickly, quickly.
Murtagh, said Aragorn earnestly. Unless you wish to die, we must go to the Varden. Don't let me walk into their arms without knowing how they will react to you. It's going to be dangerous enough without unnecessary surprises. Finally, Murtagh turned to Aragorn. His breathing was hard and fast, like that of a cornered wolf. He paused, then said with a tortured voice,
You have a right to know. I am the son of Morzan. First and last of the Forsworn.
The Horns of a Dilemma.
Aragorn was speechless. Disbelief roared through his mind as he tried to reject Murtagh's words.
The Forsworn never had any children, least of all Morzan. Morzan, the man who betrayed the riders to Galbatorix and remained the king's favorite servant for the rest of his life. Could it be true?
Saphira's own shock reached him a second later. She crashed through the trees and brush as she barreled from the river to his side, fangs bared, tail raised threateningly.
Be ready for anything, she warned. He may be able to use magic.
You are his heir?
Asked Aragorn, surreptitiously reaching for Zarok.
What could he want with me? Is he really working for the king?
I didn't choose this,
cried Murtagh, anguish twisting his face. He ripped at his clothes with a desperate air, tearing off his tunic and shirt to bare his torso.
Look,
he pleaded, and turned his back to Aragorn. Unsure, Aragorn leaned forward, straining his eyes in the darkness. There, against Murtagh's tanned and muscled skin, was a knotted white scar that stretched from his right shoulder to his left hip, a testament to some terrible agony.
See that? Demanded Murtagh bitterly.
He talked quickly now, as if relieved to have his secret finally revealed.
I was only 3 when I got it. During one of his many drunken rages, Morzan threw his sword at me as I ran by. My back was laid open by the very sword you now carry, the only thing I expected to receive as inheritance until Brom stole it from my father's corpse. I was lucky, I suppose. There was a healer nearby who kept me from dying.
You must understand, I don't love the Empire or the King. I have no allegiance to them, nor do I mean you harm.
His pleas were almost frantic. Aragorn uneasily lifted his hand from Zarok's pommel.
Then your father, he said in a faltering voice, was killed by...
Yes, Brom, said Murtagh.
He pulled his tunic back on with a detached air. A horn rang out behind them, prompting Aragorn to cry, Come, run with me! Murtagh shook the horse's reins and forced them into a tired trot, eyes fixed straight ahead while Arya bounced limply in Snowfire's saddle. Saphira stayed by Aragorn's side, easily keeping pace with her long legs.
You could walk unhindered in the riverbed,
he said as she was forced to smash through a dense web of branches.
I'll not leave you with him!
Aragorn was glad for her protection.
Morzan's son!
He said between strides,
Your tale is hard to believe. How do I know you aren't lying?
Why would I lie?
You could be...
Murtagh interrupted him quickly. I can't prove anything to you now. Keep your doubts until we reach the Varden. They'll recognize me quickly enough.
I must know, pressed Aragorn. Do you serve the Empire?